Father, we stand before your altar. We stand at the foot of your cross. You've invited us here. This is your place of healing, of mercy, of revelation, of truth. This is your place where you change hearts and lives. This is the place, Lord, where you rest upon us through the power of your Holy Spirit, and you speak healing into our minds and hearts, our bodies and souls. Come, Lord, let your will be done tonight. We pray it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm 15 years old. I have a crush on Nellie Lupovici, who happened to be a French girl. Cute one, though. She didn't know that. That's how you have crushes sometimes when you're 14, you know. You have a crush, but no one really knows, and you're afraid to tell some people because they'll make fun of you. Went to bed one night. In the middle of the night, the Lord said, Bruce, I want you to become a pastor. And I remember it, and would tell you it's very similar to what happened to Samuel, but that's what the Lord said to me. I got up the next morning. I said, Mom, God told me last night that he wants me to become a pastor. Ninth grade, John Marshall, with a crush on Nellie Lupovici. And he didn't care about any of those things. He wanted me to go in a different direction. Mom fortunately said okay, because they were going to send me, and I even said I'm supposed to go to Concordia High School. It was an all-boy high school. You can hear what I was going to say about Nellie Lupovici, right? And so, 10th grade, I started at Concordia High School. When God calls us, he calls us alone. When you're saved all alone. There is this singular moment between you, God, the Holy Spirit. There is this connection that is made in the context of either baptism or in the context of an experience or in the context of the Holy Spirit just waking you up in the middle of the night or in the context of however it is you got connected with God, the Holy Spirit. Whenever that registered and you understood, that call is always singular. It's always you, God, the working of the Holy Spirit. It's the way you are initiated into the kingdom of God, and it will be the way you're initiated out of it. You come into the kingdom alone, and you will go out alone, no matter how much we'd like to go with you or hold your hand or, you know, how much love you have for a mom, a dad, a friend, a neighbor, whatever it might be. We're all smart enough to understand that step of aloneness. Now, what struck me about that was there is this peculiar thing. God's call upon his people is always one at a time. God's call upon individuals, a little bit like Paul on the road to Damascus. I want you. All right? That individual call, almost like individual, even though they were in a small group, to the apostles, come, follow me. And each one of them had to make that individual decision. They had to say, I will come follow you. I will do that. Now, I don't know about you, but that's tough. Responding to the call of God, you may have had that happen in some way in your own life. You may be expecting that. All I want to say is if you're over two, expect it at any time. If God can talk to a 14-year-old who is in love with Nellie Lupovici, he can certainly talk to you at any age. The challenge, however, is not just in that moment. The challenge is one of the things that I want to share with you tonight, and I want us to see if we can pick it up. And I want you to turn in your Bibles or your cell phones or whatever you got. First Peter. This is going to be chapter 2. If you need a Bible, just run over and grab one. It's perfectly okay. If you don't have one, consider yourself yelled at. I'm going to start at verse 4. I'm going to focus on verse 9, but I want you to run with me through verse 4 and start there. and you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Whenever you picture this, I want you to picture yourself as an individual stone. In other words, this is an analogy that, you know, the author here, Peter, is using to try and communicate. I want to give you a vision. I want you to understand that there's an individuality about you. If you've understood how, if you've seen the stone walls of the cities and different places, they each have their own little shape, their own little qualities about them, some a little more dense, some a little more sharp, some sparkle, some don't sparkle the same way, but there's a uniqueness about each of those stones, and they are selected, and if you know anything about how they're put in place, they're put in place one at a time. Now, the purpose of the stone isn't simply to be a stone, it's to be a living stone, and the purpose of the stone is to somehow connect together in the plan that God has for it. In other words, I can be a stone on the ground and I can be all the qualities that I possess. I can have a toughness and a shape. I can have a presence. I can, you can step on me, I won't break. But I'm not under the will of God yet, and I'm not yet where God wants me to be. I belong to God, but I have to be picked up and I have to be placed in the wall, in the temple that God has me, and there's that place, that position that he wants me to be in. Now, the thing that struck me, and this is what I'm going to challenge you with tonight, is that sometimes we stop simply being the stone, the living stone. I am what I am. I got what I need. I'm done. And I whisper to you, no. Have you ever run a race? Just you run the race and you try and win and lose. That's one kind of race. And then there is this other kind of race. They call it a three-legged race. And you take a couple of rubber bands or the big inner tube rubber bands and you tie some legs together. And now you got to pick somebody. And everybody's shorter than I am, you know. And you got to tie that one leg together so your right leg is tied together with their left leg. And you now have to figure out how to run this race, and you suddenly are in a totally different situation. Or when it really gets fun, they connect more than one or two people together, and then you have to really figure out what to do. And so now you're racing down there, trying to get three people synced together so you can actually move this thing somewhere. Well, the challenge is not the moving of your legs. The challenge is in working together. The challenge is, can I be submissive enough that when this person is moving forward, I'm willing to let my right leg move with their left leg, and together we develop some kind of cadence, some kind of unity, some kind of working together. One of the things I want to ask the question is, in terms of our church, the question is this: when our church is working, do we work together? Not according to what I say, but according to what God wants. Here's the challenge that I think God's going to set in front of us as I finish off this text. The challenge is going to be, it isn't whether you individually are doing the works you're supposed to do. What a wonderful stone you are. You do all the things very well. You're so tough. You're so focused. What a great shape you have. You are a good stone. But God says, I want to put you into the temple. I have a position, a place where you are going to be rubbed on, rested on, weighted on in terms of pressure down and in and out, and you need to hold that particular position. In order for that stone to move from there into the place in the wall, there is a step of faith, a step of obedience, a step of relationship. We have these kind of stereotypes sometimes of people who are unwilling to commit, you know, in a relationship or anything else like that. One of the hardest things about this text is that God is inviting you and I to push and rub shoulders at a different level than we've ever rubbed them before. What it takes is a level of surrender. In order for me to be a part of that wall, I have to surrender whatever degree of freedom I perceive I have, whatever degree of independence I perceive I have, and I have to live in a submitted relationship to the Spirit of God, because it's the Spirit of God who wants to, and watch the text now, so you like little living stones are being built into a spiritual house. You're not building yourself, you're being built. The call of God is individual in the sense of the Spirit of the Lord wants me or you in the kingdom. That moment of conversion and all the different things that are connected with it over all the years that you've lived, that's something between you and the Lord. But that next step are being built together into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, requires the step that I think we're all going to be challenged with. And the challenge I want to ask is this, and the question that I want you to deal with is this one. It's never for us right now, tonight at least, it's not a question of whether you're doing that which is good or good deeds. It's not a question if God has saved you. The question I want to ask is, are you in the spot doing the thing that God needs you to do? Are you accomplishing God's purpose in the kingdom that God wants you to accomplish? You understand it is not easy. It is as difficult as a three or a six-legged or whatever you want to pick race, where you got people wired or taped together or whatever you're going to do. It requires a submission. It requires a letting go. It requires a walking faster or a walking slower than you're used to. It requires you to receive pressure on the one side, on the other, from on the bottom and on the top, and you fill that spot. And in one sense, it feels like it limits you. On the other hand, no temple is ever built with only one stone. No church is made out of one part of the body. The body is described as being individual members, as being individual parts. Everyone wonderfully unique. Everyone wonderfully, marvelously created. It's not a question of, are you a wonderful part? The question is, are you in the body? Are you connected? Are you doing the responsible, powerful working that God has you to do? Because otherwise that wall will not be built. We will have a field of stones that kind of hang out together. And so here's what struck me, and I want you to go with me to the rest of this. And it goes, the stone the builders rejected became the capstone. That refers to Jesus. And verse 8, now it says, and the stone caused men to stumble, and the rock that made them fall. And they stumble because they disobey the message, which is what they were destined for. Then it talks about you and me again. Run with me in verse 9. But you are a chosen people. I want that stone. I want it right there in that part of the wall. You're a chosen people. A royal priesthood, kingly by the nature of the word there. A holy nation, a people, plural, belonging to God. One of the things that happens when churches are simply groups of stones living together in somewhat of a disarray is they never quite get done what God wants us to get done. In order for me to be a useful stone for the kingdom of God, I have to go, Lord, you need to put me where you want me to go, and you want me to fulfill this role and do this thing, and I'm willing to take the pressure from the right and the left, from the top and the bottom, and fulfill my responsibility where you have placed me. I am understanding that as a living stone, I have feelings and emotions and responses, and people are sometimes, it's like we like to say in school, I'm a great teacher until the kids come. You know, school's really wonderful during the summer when all of them are home. You know, you can walk down the... You make those kind of jokes, but you go, you know and I know what we're really being asked to do. You know how hard it is. You know how hard it is just to get a family to work together. To just get that stone called dad or that stone called mom to actually become part of what the family is called to do. To be understanding that there's this thing that God wants to build, this body of believers. And in order to do that, there's a connection that has to take place. There's a place and a position that you're going to have. If you're an arm or a foot, a leg or an ear, or whatever part of the body you are, you're going to take a certain place. And you're going to have to fulfill a certain responsibility. And it is going to be not only to yourself, which of course is the easiest, but it's going to be first and foremost to God and then the rest of the body. Because the body will never move, the church will never thrive, the building will never be built until we become those stones and go into those spots and accomplish those things that God wants us to accomplish. So what's the challenge? Watch what he does here. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong to God. I belong to you, God. I didn't understand in ninth grade all the implications of what God was calling me to. I don't know if I'd have said yes. I don't look back and regret it for one second. That's the truth. But you kind of go, holy cow. What you learn, though, in the process is that step that says, I am going to leap into your arms. I am going to trust that this is you, and I am going to do what you've asked me to do. And X number of years later, after 8 years of college and all the other things, God says, now you're maybe getting halfway to first base. And then you have a whole lot more to learn about life and people and circumstances and God. And you find out the education isn't where God called you, but it's the relationship with God. But watch this part now. I've made you this people. You are. It's not you will be. You are these things. It's kind of like looking at, don't you understand you are part of this wall? Yeah, I do. Do you understand I want you to be in that wall? Yeah. Then may I put you where I need you to be because you are part of my royal priesthood. You are part of my holy nation. You are part of what I'm going to accomplish in the fellowship, in this church, in your family, in the body, and I need you to be together in this. And then he goes on, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Not a person. Not a person. Do you understand where God is? He starts you off on that individual walk, that singular, it's you and me, Lord, that work of the Holy Spirit when he touches you and calls you into the kingdom. But then he puts you into this thing called the temple. He puts you into this thing called the body, and he places you where he needs you and wants you to be so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The leap tonight is not a leap of faith so I get saved. The leap tonight, remember we did the trust fall last week? The leap tonight or the letting go is saying, Jesus, I need you to put me in the wall where you need me to be. I need to be courageous enough to take my part and play my role and understand it's going to be pressure from one side and the other, from top and bottom, to understand that I don't just get to go when I want to go, but I'm tied together with the other brothers and sisters the same way my hand, my leg, or any part of my body may not want to be a part of the body for whatever reason, and God says you need to stay together. One foot's got to move with the other. In the sense that we understand it in a three-legged race if it's not working, but we also understand that everything has to be in submission to my mind for my body to work. Otherwise, the church stops moving. The people of God do not accomplish the will of God. They haven't ceased to be the people of God, but they miss what God is trying to call them to do. And so my invitation to you tonight is this phrasing then. You are the chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And God has a place for you, unique to you, that is calling you into that response where you understand, this is where I am, Lord. I'm willing to lay down and entrust my life, my circumstances, everything into your arms. Sometimes in the middle of that, we don't understand all the things we're getting into. If you've ever run a three-legged race, it's not easy to lose. It's not easy if you don't have someone that you're working with that figures out we got to work on this together. But you don't give up. You don't quit. See, that's one thing about being placed in a wall. You're mortared together where the Lord has placed you to care and move where and do the thing that God wants you to do, to be a part of that thing he calls the temple that begins to give that testimony. And so what God is inviting us to do tonight is this phrase, and I want you to listen. Open your ears. You are the temple of God. Open your eyes. You are a royal priesthood. Take that leap of faith into the loving arms of the God who will put you into the body, into the wall where he needs you to be. Let him use you in more ways than you've ever been used before. Entrust yourself to him. Pray with me. Lord, I understand a living stone. I understand the call that you've laid upon my individual heart. I remember the deafness, the blindness, the stupidity, and the struggles I've had even during and since and everything else. I understand that, Lord. I understand apart from your spirit, I wouldn't be alive at all. And I also understand that in your spirit, I couldn't have a better living experience to know you, to know your person, your call, your ministry into my life. I long for it daily, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that together we would lay down and let our arms be at rest, that we would understand that you are calling us forward to put us in those spots in the wall where we need to be. And because you know we are living stones, you can move us or shift us or take us from one place and put us in another just as it's needed. And then, Lord, when we, like the body of Christ, begin to function, each one of us in our role, we move that body forward. We move it, Lord, in obedience to the leading of your Spirit. Tonight, Lord Jesus, there is ministry that needs to take place in the lives of people around us. There are people that need to be loved, need to be encouraged, families that need to be built up, prayers that need to be spoken, phone calls that need to be made, letters that should be written, things that should be done that we've avoided and missed. And we didn't realize you really put us in that position in the wall to be a prayer, to be an intercessor, to be an encourager, to be a blessing. We sometimes, Lord, don't even want to get in the wall and rub shoulders tightly with our own families. But you don't let us stay there. You call us and you put us together and you call us brothers and sisters and you speak of us like living stones mortared together to accomplish your purposes. I'm praying, Lord, tonight that we would have submitted spirits. I'm praying, Lord, tonight that we would fall into your arms. I'm praying, Lord, that we would live a surrendered life, that we would trust that you are going to lead us into people and situations and ministries and places that you want us to stand, that you've brought us into this position and this place of rubbing shoulders with one another, not to let us stop here, but to equip us so that we do more work and accomplish greater things in accordance with your will. We're asking, Lord, that we would learn to stand solidly upon you. We're asking, Lord, that we would become that wall of your temple or those walls of your temple till finally people who come to near us will understand that they are coming into the presence of your Holy Spirit, that we have in that presence the power of your healing, your mercy, your grace, and encouragement. I'm asking, Lord, that we would lay down those things that hold us apart, that we would lay down anything that would be causing us to be hesitant and surrendered from loving or forgiving or from making a difference, that we would lay down those things that allow us to reattach to our own families, to hang on tightly to the brothers and sisters around us, to reach into the circumstances of cousins and neighbors and friends, because we have been made a body to move. We've been made a body to bring healing. We've been made a body to share the truth. We've been made a body to carry the wounded. We've been made a body, Lord, to take care of one another. We've been made a body to declare the praises of who you are. So tonight I praise you, Lord. I learned a long time ago that the only place to be is in your arms. And yet sometimes I struggle. So Lord, help us to step out in faith, lay back into your arms, and surrender the outcome into your grace, into your vision for our lives. And you carry us and you move us by the power of your Spirit. Turn our families around, turn our hearts around, turn friendships around, turn our attitudes towards jobs around, towards situations that weigh us down, and help us, Lord, to be filled with your presence and your Spirit. Just as we are, we come tonight. We pray that in your name, Jesus. God's people said.